out there, everybody. Welcome to Caffeination 315. This is the 315th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. I'd like to say hello and welcome to everybody out there. This is Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2009. Hopefully the week is treating you right so far. It's been kind of a crazy around here as per usual. I might have to start stopping saying that, just because every week seems to be that much more crazy. We are coming up fast upon the big birthday season in our families, you know, birthdays from both sides of the family, so it's going to be even more crazy and hectic from here on out. But I got to tell you, it's been kind of rewarding the past couple days. I've been doing a lot of writing, been really feeling good about a lot of the stuff that's been coming out. So hopefully, if you've managed to head on over to the Caffeination homepage over at www.caffeination.com, you've managed to see some of the articles that we're putting out there. Don't worry, there will be links in all the different shows that we're going to be doing. The way I've been doing is writing the articles and everything, and if you don't happen to see it, they're actually included in the next show notes, just in case you know that you were interested in that. If not, don't worry, no hard feelings. All right, this is the nonsense edition because there's just so much random gunk stuck to the inside of this episode that I really couldn't kind of break it down at all, so I decided to take a little step back and realize that, you know, most of the stuff you see on the internet's nonsense, so I might as well just own up to it right now. This is a pretty good nonsensical edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, which, in case you were wondering, is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other wonderful shows, including myself, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational shows, so you can head on over to techpodcasts.com to enjoy some of the other fine shows that are out there, and I highly suggest you check out some of the other interesting ones that are up there. There's a lot of really good friends within the network that I've kind of been working with for, you know, a little bit, almost 3 years now. I think the middle of April will actually be the 3-year anniversary of me joining the Tech Podcast Network, and I got to tell you, you could not ask for a better group of techies to be around. I mean, who watches The Watchers? The big tagline for the Watchmen movie coming out right now. Who helps the techs? It should be another one, you know, because it's really frustrating. This is a complete aside, and it's not going to take too long. But it's really frustrating when you are the administrator of a computer or a network or something like that, and you're trying to do something, you're trying to set everything all up, and then you get that lovely little error message that says, "Please contact the administrator." It's kind of hard because you want to just say to the computer, "Don't you realize I'm sitting right here and I still don't know what the problem is?" So it's not nearly that bad, but there are times which even the geekiest of us have to turn to others. And that's one of the reasons that we have the Geeks Who Care kind of thing there. We're trying to produce a bunch of articles for Techs in Tough Times, be all ramping up for the yearly event that we do in April. And I'll be talking a little bit about that next week because I don't want to announce it too early. I announced it too early last year, kind of lost some steam. We're going to try and build it up right and proper. All right, just in case you were wondering, on today's show you're going to be hearing about any and all the following topics: Lego, productivity applications, OSs, skis, space invaders, retro gaming, erector sets, chemistry sets, Star Wars, compost, coffee, gingerbread, caffeine, and beer. Those are a few of my favorite things. Also, one that somehow didn't manage to make it into there. We're going to be talking a little bit about robots. No, I didn't forget the thing that I was talking to you about a little bit ago. We are still working on our robot appeasement guide. It's going to be a lovely little poster that is going to be showing you how to properly appease and properly calm down the robot overlords in the eventuality that they do end up taking over, which at this point in time, seriously, it's only a matter of time. And there's actually proof in today's episode. Hopefully you're going to enjoy that as well. All right, before we get too much further into the absolute nonsense part of this, I did want to talk to you just a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Spending too much time driving or flying to meet your clients in person? Then you need to stop letting travel costs eat away at your bottom line. You need to do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. Brought to you by Citrix, GoToMeeting lets you launch sales presentations, product demos, or training sessions all from your computer. It's like meeting in person, but with a lot less expensive and seriously less time consuming. Meet from your office, your home, or your hotel room anytime. Time anywhere. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. With a special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts for your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast that allows us to do all kinds of crazy cool stuff and continue on with the show as we are right now. So, Like I said, it has been crazy, but it has been a rewarding little time in the Caffeination's life cycle here. I'm really excited about a lot of the articles. I'm really excited about some of the reviews that are actually coming up that haven't even been put out there yet. I just have a lot of product shots and everything taken that are kind of all off to the side, and I really hope that you enjoy them. So just remember, head on over to the podcast. If you're subscribed in iTunes, you might not be seeing them. So if you head on over to the website itself, you might actually get a chance to see them. There's a whole bunch of other interesting stuff that's up there at any one point in time. And as always, we're going to remind you of the back channel. That's the caffeination.tumblr.com. That has become the go-to dumping ground for all of the awesome news that I can just not squeeze into this show. So you can head on over to caffeination.tumblr.com. It's the Web 2.0 thing. They just drop vowels out randomly. And then last but most certainly not least there, the Web Presence Index. If you're looking for me on Facebook, MySpace, whatever else the case may be, please head on over to www.paulrjmuller.com. That is me, so you can find everywhere where I am. There's also some interesting, at least I think, scholarly articles up there. I'm trying to throw that down over there. So if that's your bag, you might want to head on over there and check that out. All right, now you can follow along as we talk about all the fine little articles that are over here. First thing, I wanted to give people a little bit of a heads up about some of the productivity applications that are out there. Now, I know that there are a lot of techs that are going to kind of roll their eyes at this, but you know what? Somebody has to say it, and I've run across that a couple times so far, but it's when somebody, in my case at least, it's been a student. Somebody's actually come up to me and said, you know, I really need to write a document in Microsoft Office. I don't have a legal copy of it, and whatever happened, and I can't get another copy of it. So what do I do? So I've been referring people to OpenOffice, and I don't understand why people don't know about it. I mean, yes, there's a lot of geeks and a lot of people out there, people who are like hardcore open source people who are rolling their eyes right now saying, of course OpenOffice is there. Of course OpenOffice is a fantastic idea. Well, OpenOffice does have some small problems, and you know, the first of which being that, you know, if you're looking for a truly portable solution, it's not really what you want. It's definitely you install it on your Mac or your PC, and that's pretty much where the files live. Yes, the files can go from one to the other, but there is formatting issues with that. At least I've seen them anyway. It is a great full-featured software suite. I mean, it has everything you can possibly imagine from Microsoft Office, and it follows the one major tenet of all productivity applications in that it is fully compatible with Microsoft Office. The only thing I've ever had problems with is resumes. So if you, I actually tried to open up my mother's resume because I was trying to look at it, making sure, you know, everything was, you know, looking right. And, you know, everybody needs an extra set of eyes on things. So I opened it up in OpenOffice, not thinking. And all the formatting was completely thrown out the window. The one-page or two-page resume ended up being like five. And just it was just completely out of the water. However, when I opened it up in Office, it was perfectly fine. So I can only see that some of the higher-end formatting, it might be Microsoft-specific. So with that in mind, if you're perfectly fine doing everything in OpenOffice, nobody should have any problems opening them up after the fact. And they have the great feature of actually being able to save to PDF, which is huge. Huge. Then the other little solution that I've been using a lot for a lot of my article writing, a lot of my writing on novels and things that I do is Google Docs. I know that it is the absolute bare bones for what you would want in a word processor, a spreadsheet application, or a presentation thing, even though I've never actually used the presentation component for Google Docs. There's not a lot of features in there. And frankly, do you really want a lot of features in any of these things? I mean, you don't really want to weigh down your browser trying to add all the clip art and everything. You can find your own clip art at that point. So I just wanted to kind of give you a little bit of a rundown on the pluses and minuses of each one of them. You can head on over to the Caffeination and read that. I also completed the review of The Principles of Successful Freelancing by Miles Burke, a wonderful book from O'Reilly Publishing, which they were kind enough to send to me. And it's actually SitePoint Publishing by O'Reilly Media. But it is a wonderful book, and you can read all about what I thought of it from the overall concept down to the rent or own factor, which is one of the biggest things. Whenever I'm reading a book, especially if it's one lent to me or if it's one I see other people have, I kind of do a little bit of a value-based equation on it. I kind of say, alright, is this worth actually buying? Is this worth actually keeping around in my stockpile, or should I sell it back to a used bookstore or something like that? And this book firmly lands in the buy category because you are going to pick it up again. It's not quite yet yet a reference book. It's not quite yet one you keep up on the shelf. Like, I have a ton of books that are set to be reviewed in the month of April that are not donated. They're ones that I went out and bought, and I need to share this information with you. So there's going to be a lot of great stuff coming out in the review section. Hopefully you enjoy all that. That about wraps it up for the Tech in Tough Times section. We're still looking in case anybody wants to submit a geeky charity or anything like that. We're more than happy to try and work with people for that. We're going to dive right on into the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast right now. And the first little article is from over at Engadget.com. Engadget. It's actually a really interesting idea from MSI, the people who make motherboards. It's called a Winky, Eyes On. It's an instant on OS, which is basically the idea when as soon as you apply power to this thing, the operating system is booted up and ready to go. It's a tiny little flashcard based system that actually plugs directly into the motherboard, and as soon as power is applied to it, it has an on state. It doesn't need to bootload, it doesn't need to, you know, there's nothing that happens before it. It's fantastic. I really, really want to try this. I think this is a great idea. And while people are kind of lamenting the fact that this doesn't exist in laptops yet, it's MSI. They're a motherboard manufacturer, and while I'm not sure if they actually make any of the motherboard common motherboards for laptops that are out there, because I don't service laptops too often, other than, you know, pulling a hard drive out or something like that. Desktops have a lot more room for error, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see what exactly they can actually make this thing do. Apparently, the Winky can actually have IM services running, Skype, the internet. There's a ton of stuff. It actually runs a version of embeddable Linux, so it's really, really an interesting idea. It's going to be fun to see where it goes. Next little article we have up there is kind of a little bit for myself. It's kind of a little bookmark that we have. This one's from over at ecogeek.org, a great site for green technology and honest news about the entire green revolution. Because I got to tell you, one of the biggest problems you're going to find if you're looking for information about green technology or green this or green that, everything is green right now. But then again, so is the color of money. And the problem is people are more than willing to sell out their opinions for a little bit of green, the wrong kind. So the fine folks over at EcoGeek have done a fabulous job of really kind of, you know, drilling down the different points, and they're actually quite on point with a lot of the things that they talk about. I mean, this could be something as simple as, you know, ripping into clean coal, or something as complex as actually explaining the difference between, you know, algae created ethanol and ethanol created from corn, which I was having a huge problem with. So you have to kind of arm yourself. You have to kind of, you know, set yourself up and figure out where everything's going. And EcoGeek's a great resource for that. You know, all right, commercial for them aside, unintended commercial for them aside, they actually have a great little article about what to do with your cell phone. It's a little question and answer period about what you should do with your old wireless phones, about why you should actually, you know, recycle. And there's a company called Recellular that actually does it. And it's really kind of an interesting story, so I'm just going to link you up over to there. But the one thing that I actually was kind of interested in is apparently they actually have kiosks in Best Buy. And I kind of got excited because I know we have a ton of old cell phones in our house. And I just keep collecting them and putting them in a pile along with their chargers because I know that there's services out there that need them. So I know that we need to drop them off somewhere. The only good thing about it is the next time my son goes for a haircut, they had a giant box that you could actually deposit them in. It was for a battered women fund so that women who were domestically abused or were in danger were able to get a cell phone from this program. So if I can find the information for that, I will gladly link you to that. But I wanted to kind of give you the little question and answer from over at Recellular and EcoGeek.org. All right, moving right along. This one's from one of our listeners, James. Thank you ever so much. Flying robots to provide Wi-Fi in disaster areas. I got to tell you, the robots now have a network. It now follows them wherever they go. These are tiny little helicopter-like, bug-like creatures that are capable of swarming into areas ravaged by disaster and create on-the-go ad hoc networks. And it's a really kind of an interesting little story. However, you know, it kind of makes you a little bit worried, you know, for when the eventual takeover does happen, they're actually going to be able to network far better than we can. I mean, as long as they don't have access to Facebook, I think we'll be all right. But, you know, it's just kind of an interesting little story. And it's interesting even more so to take a different bend on it. But this is definitely, I mean, all kidding aside, this is definitely one of those stories where you kind of get a little bit of a warm fuzzy about the robots because, this is really a solution to a problem that exists. You know, in the event of natural disasters, the ability to network and the ability to get information. Information is power. I mean, knowing is half the battle. The old G.I. Joe slogan, you know, gotta get tough, go Joe there. But, it's really true because there could be diseases that people are encountering that they can't see. The best place to look them up is not necessarily WebMD. I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, actual integral communications back to, like, you know, medical base stations, you know, from the Red Cross to their ground units, within army situations. There's a huge need for this kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting to see where this is actually headed. The next little thing we have up here is complete and utter crazy nonsense to be on top of it. It's prototype wireless robotic vacuum cleaner hamster powered. The idea behind this is you take a standard Roomba, you put on the back of it where I guess the vacuum would be, you put a little hamster in a plastic ball. You add the controls to the actual robot itself so that whichever direction the hamster starts to run inside of the spheroid, the robot will turn and follow. So now the robots have a tiny little master. So you have to wonder, should we be more worried about the robots or more worried about the hamsters at this point in time? While I know that Pinky and the Brain never really tangled with hamsters, I could see a group of hamsters attempting to take over the world. It'd be kind of interesting to see, but they're going to do it one Roomba at a time. So beware, you know, if you're of the iRobot clan. All right, up next is a great little pictorial essay. The only way to actually describe this is an odd robot rundown. 32 pictures of the enemy slash overlords. There's a great little article over at boston.com. They're calling it The Big Picture, where they run down 32 popular and unbelievable robots. I mean, they have things like the Da Vinci robot, which is crazy. It is literally a robot with, like, it looks to be anywhere from 12 to 16 extra hands that actually assists in surgery, and, you know, there's somebody actually controlling it. So this is like the length and the breadth of robotics technology. I mean, there's something as simple as like an exoskeleton, there's a robot with a weird smiley face, there's robots that pick up bodies off the field. However, I'm very much assured that picking up the bodies off the field is one step away from actually creating the bodies on the field, so it could just be, you know, for cleanup and removal. They have something which is just really cool that I think we reported on before. It's called the Robo Lobster, that's actually able to detect underwater mines, and it looks like a black lobster, so kind of fun and kind of cool. Over at device.com, we have an interesting little article. Their title is One Aerospace Company Scrap is Another Man's Robotic Sculpture. The way I'm looking at it is I love found object art. I don't know why, and I'm not saying this has a steampunk aesthetic, which is what one of the people that actually said in a different site that was looking at this, but it's really kind of fun to see what people can create out of odd and parts taken out of their provenience. Provenience is basically where something should be or where it was found, and it's all the information are surrounding it. For instance, if you found a ball bearing in the middle of the street, it wouldn't necessarily mean anything. However, if you found a ball bearing at the bottom of a, you know, highly expensive piece of machinery that was designed to cut dough into specific portions, you would probably guess that that ball bearing had something to do with the operation of the machine. It's all about the where it's from. So it's kind of interesting when you take pieces of machinery and you take different things like that out of their standard area, out of where they're supposed to be, exactly what can happen to them. So it's kind of fun to see the different sculptures that that they created over there. All right, moving right along, the last little article that we have in the little robot subsection that I put in here is a bionic eye gives man sight. Now, this is not yet, you know, full-on camera vision. This man was blind for 30 years. This guy, Ron, is 73 years old. So from the time he was 43, he was completely and utterly blind. He said the only thing he has seen has been black for 30 years. After they fitted him with this device, it's basically a camera that sits inside sunglasses and attaches directly to the front of the eyeball or the optic nerve. I'm kind of a little bit different. Gotten different information about that, so I'm not really sure. But he's now able to discern colors. He can discern, you know, black from white. He can follow a white line in the street. He can tell gray socks from black socks from white socks. It's not yet, you know, perfect picture vision, but for a man that has seen nothing for the past 30 years, it's an unbelievable advancement. And I highly suggest you actually head on over there and see the video, because I read a lot of very passionate articles about this topic. And I was kind of excited just to read another one. And when I got over there and they actually had an interview with the guy, nothing will ever come close to the passion that that this man shows. Nothing will ever come close to the, showing you the joy at just an absolute simple, tiny thing for him. You know, the ability to differentiate light from dark. I mean, it's probably one of the simplest exercises in photography, I guess you could say. You know, just the contrast. But it's an unbelievable thing to hear him talk about it, so I really suggest you head on over there and check that out. Alright, up next, a little bit more nonsense to go with your seriousness. From over at Yanko Design, they've designed a catamaran of skis. Well, if two skis weren't enough, how about two skis times two? This is like the, it's getting to be as bad as like the Gillette 9-blade razor or something like that. You know, the fusion with 6 or 7 or 8 blades. Each one of these skis is actually two perfectly symmetrical mini skis on a interesting little suspension system. So the harder you earn, faster you go, the wider the skis actually move apart to give you a little bit of traction, which I thought was a really good idea. And this is all, of course, concept designs from over at Yanko, but it's really kind of funny to see this. And the more I'm looking at this, the more it really does seem like a good idea. But they actually give you the idea, you know, from a left turn, what it looks like from a right turn, from a front turn. It's really kind of an interesting idea. I gotta wonder if this would actually show a marked improvement in speed or something like that. This was one product where I'm looking at it and going, you know, that's really kind of cool and awesome at the same point in time, all rolled up into one. But it would be kind of fun to see what it would actually do in practical purpose. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there. Alright, let's see what else we got. There's a great, absolutely interesting, beyond belief, little chemistry set / erector set. This thing's a bubble experiment lab, a lame alternative to a chemistry set from over at Ogizmo.com. I applaud them for what they're trying to do. Not Ogizmo. I applaud the company for what they're trying to do. They're trying to make bubbles fun, which is really, really hard. I mean, bubbles for my 2-year-old son are the most awesome thing in the world. You blow some bubbles and he will go to town on those things. However, for this, you know, for the slightly older and more mature crowd, it might be a little bit harder to kind of, you know, dissect the fun for bubbles. So the idea behind this is that you can create some kind of Rube Goldberg contraption to actually create your bubbles for you. The only problem is it really kind of falls short of the toys that it would be going up against, at least in my opinion. You know, if it's going up against the Erector set because you can build your own, or if it's going up against Legos, it's missing some of the cachet. It's definitely missing some of the fun out of some of the other things. So I just thought I'd pass it along because it does look kind of fun, but it doesn't look like it completes the circuit, if you know what I mean. All right, moving right along yet again, Space Invaders Attack Plan T-shirt. This, you know, I don't often just highlight different pieces of merchandise because, you know, it's at least not directly. But it's kind of funny to see this because this is only a T-shirt, but the design elements on it are unbelievable. There is one of the Space Invaders enemies up at the front with line after line of enemies looking at a 8-bit blackboard behind him with the dotted lines for their planned movements. And you thought it was all programmed. You thought there was no thought behind it. the more I look at this, the more the simplicity of it really kind of makes you laugh. It is kind of a funny shirt, and I would love to get one of these. I think that's pretty fun and cool. Alright, moving right along, we actually have an interesting little story about Space Invader cufflinks, which are a little bit more understated than the actual t-shirt involved, and these things are just really simple little studies in metal. I don't really know what exactly they're made of. I think it might be silver, but they're $60 each, which is a little bit high of a price point, but they're from Etsy, so you know that they're actually kind of like handmade, and they're relatively special because most of the products over there are kind of interesting like that. So, you know, it's 6 of 1, half a dozen of another, whether or not you actually think that it's worth it because it's handmade or if it's junk because it's handmade. I personally think they're unbelievably awesome, so I just want to kind of throw a link up there for you, and hopefully you enjoy it. All right, now, next, I have a friend who has solved the Rubik's Cube, and I know a couple other people out there who have. I, myself, am horrible at them. I'm not saying that I didn't want one and I don't love having it. I'm just really bad at it. So, when somebody shows me a Pentamix dodecahedral puzzle that will drive you insane, as is listed over at slipperybrick.com, I just kind of shudder. And I pass the article along to my friend who actually solved the original Rubik's Cube. This thing is massive. It took 75 hours to build. There are 1,212 stickers. A dodecahedron is It's a solid that has 12 sides. So it's already, you can imagine, moving from 6 sides to 12 sides, you're doubling that. It also, more than, you know, any order of magnitude I could calculate on the spot here, increased the amount of facets that you actually work with. He hand-molded all the pieces to work together. So this is a beautiful piece of artwork, and I will kill somebody if they try and buy one of these for me, because it's just, it's that insane. So you have to hand it to the artist, because it's just crazy, but at the same point in time, you know, you just have to kind of sit there stunned, because this takes a level of dedication, a level of focus that not very many people out there have to build it, let alone to try and solve it. So you gotta love how whenever they're in their pristine state, they just don't look right. A Rubik's Cube already solved is just kind of an invitation to mess it up. Alright, moving right along. Yet another little funny little nonsense link that we have for you here is Star Wars mice. There's nothing else beyond it. It's just a bunch of tiny little stuffed mice that are dressed up like characters, iconic characters from the Star Wars series. They have Yoda, they have an Ewok, they have a Stormtrooper. My favorite is R2-D2. So I'm sending this little link out there into the ether. Hopefully you'll enjoy it and pass it on as well. Alright, next little link that we have up for you here. We're winding down the Geekcraft section here with the last couple things here. Is a new bathroom. First, faucets warned you of danger by turning from red to blue with LEDs. Red is hot, blue is cold, obviously. There's actually an article out there discussing temperature-sensitive bathroom tiles so that the hotter the area around the tile, they would change colors. I'm assuming red means hot, even though that when they actually put the person's hand on it, they turned white. I don't really know how aesthetically pleasing these things are. I mean, yes, they're kind of interesting, and yes, they're kind of fun, but each one of these tiles is $17 each. So if you're going to do your entire bathroom, and it takes 10 tiles across, and like another 30 down or something like that, you're just for one wall to have this, it's going to be crazy. However, I could see making like a fun little border around the bottom so that you can actually see. The only thing that I really kind of see as a small failing with this is that, you know, you don't really turn the shower on and hit the wall with it. If you could find some way to actually incorporate these into a design at the bottom of a tub, I could see them being a little bit more interesting or useful. All right, up next here we have from Port Clinton, Ohio, an interesting little story about a Lego engineering class for kids offered at a local community college. This is a great, great idea. It runs from March 18th to April 29th, so, I mean, if you're anywhere in Ohio and you have a kid right around those ages, the program will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Wednesdays, and it's just really cool. I would love to see more of this done. I work in the engineering building, I work in the architecture department, but I work in the engineering building, and I have not seen enough projects with Legos, all right? I think Temple University is falling behind on the incorporation of Legos into engineering. However, I have seen several Lego projects in architecture, so you can take it or leave it with that. All right, moving right along yet again to a fun little concept design, again from over at Yanko Design, but this is an interesting little piece of countertop design. It looks like a computer sitting on the countertop, and the idea behind this is it's a small form factor composter. I love this idea. I love the idea that, you know, there's a way in which people in the city or people without a large backyard can actually compost effectively. So I'd love to see this thing actually, you know, take off. I know that we're trying to find a way of composting here, the caffeination layer, in a way that's not going to create a lot of stink. But, I love gardening. I love planting things. So hopefully I can find a way to use the garbage in our house in an easy and clean way to actually do a little composting. And if this thing ever actually comes out there, it's just going to be something like, I really need to stress how small this thing actually is. It's seriously the size of like a fat Xbox 360. So if this thing actually ever came to fruition, it would be a really cool idea. So, all right, that about wraps it up here for the Geekcraft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We only have a couple little quick hits in the caffeinated and consumable bits area, and then we will head you out on your way. So hopefully you'll stick around for all that. In case you were listening to some of the various streaming services that are around online, I would highly suggest that you head on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. This podcast that you are currently listening to is the Caffeination Podcast. We figured it was a a good place to keep all that stuff. So just in case you were looking for any of its episodic friends, they're all lovingly nestled over there. And as always, you can send any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail directly to caffeination@gmail.com. Alright, moving right along to the consumable and caffeinated bits here. I love this section personally. I mean, not just because I get to link up to coffee whenever it appears in the news in interesting fashions, but because I get to do stuff like this. There's a gingerbread baker out there who's actually created a series of gingerbread monsters. There's gingerbread zombies. There's a gingerbread Cthulhu, which is just unbelievable. There's a two-headed gingerbread. It's a Siamese twin gingerbread, like an evil and a happy twin. So I just wanted to pass them out there because I thought they were pretty cool. All right, moving right along. This has been the, I'm just going to have to say it, but this is the only, I guess you could say, barrier for my entry into NASA so far has been the inability of someone to drink coffee in space in a way that I could understand. Fear not anymore. Astronauts have a really cool job and all that, but this is going to be a fun little way to look at it. It's a new design concept that allows you to actually pour coffee into a mug and serve it and drink it in a normal mug-like fashion in zero gravity. I don't know if this will actually work, because I'm pretty sure, you know, once liquid, no matter hot, cold, anything, is in zero gravity, it just kind of turns into a globule form. So I really don't know how much a mug's going to help you one way or another, but I would actually like to see like an amorphous little floating blob of coffee. I just think that would be a fantastic little way. Could you imagine that? You're sitting at your computer, you're trying to do some work, and just a blob of coffee, you know, goes by, and you can just take a little sip as it floats by on the train. I just think that would be pretty cool. So just passing this little coffee cup along because I thought it was pretty fun. All right, we have another interesting little article from over at randomgoodstuff.com. Gotta tell you, this is one of the more innovative ways of hiding a fridge that I've ever seen. It's a toolbox fridge. Now, it looks exactly like one of the toolboxes you would have in like a garage or something like that, next to a mechanic's bench or something like that. So I love this. I'm passing it along for any of the friends out there who actually do work in areas where you need these kind of tools. This is the perfect way you can keep all your lovely little cold bits cold. So it's while it looks like a toolbox, it's a lovely little mini fridge next to your desk. All right, moving right along. Now, this has a PTA huge. This is a potential for abuse beyond anything you can imagine. This is a spot-on energy, the Caffeine Addicts Patch. I got to tell you, from personal experience, if you're trying to quit caffeine, you should stop right now, because caffeine's going to win. No, I'm just kidding. I understand that there are people out there who have problems stopping coffee. You have problems quitting caffeine. But I really don't think that a caffeine patch is the good idea. Just because, think of the potential for abuse. Think of the kid who's trying to stay up all night. Do you think he's just going to use one patch as a way to quit the coffee? No, what he's going to do is he's going to put four or five of these suckers on his arm, and you're going to have to deal with the fallout beyond that. So I just, I think it's a really bad idea. I really kind of hope that they don't go to market, but I just want to kind of push that information along to you. In case you were trying to quit caffeine or coffee, trust me, cold turkey, after the third day, you're going to be all right. You got to watch out in case you do have little caffeine withdrawal symptoms. One of the ways that they actually tell you to get over that is actually take migraine medicine, like the over-the-counter migraine medicine, like Excedrin migraine or something like that, because it's just Excedrin with a small dose of caffeine. So, or you could try eating a piece of chocolate, because they have a small amount of caffeine as well. All right, up next, totallycooltech.com. This is our totally cool link of the day. This is called Hopside Down Double Walled Beer Glass. This is going to do a double take for you. The more I look at this, the more I think that it would just be a great addition to anywhere in the caffeination layer. I love drinking beer. I think it's a fantastic beverage and all, but you know, the vessels I use to consume it are usually the bottles. I'm not really one for pouring it into the mugs or anything like that and trying to enjoy a nice frosty mug after the fact, unless there's a keg on hand. So to have the bottle represented in the glass itself is kind of interesting. Now, for those of you who can't see what I'm looking at, which is pretty much everybody at this point, Hopside Down glasses are actually a regular Pilsner glass where there's the inverted form of a bottle on the inside of the glass, so that when you actually fill it, it looks like an upside down bottle. bottle has been stuck inside the glass. So there's nothing else you can say with that. That's just plain awesome in a box. That's from over at 7gadgets.com. Thank you very much, Norbert, for sending that one along. And last but most certainly not least, we have a link here to Caffeine Jewelry. They're saying this is bling. They're saying that it's silver. They're also saying that it's $85, and I really don't know if I want to spend $85 for kind of a little piece of kitsch, if you know what I mean. I love Caffeine. I have shirts with the logo on it. I would consider, if I was fabulously wealthy, possibly even getting a tattoo somehow incorporating that. However, I don't think that I would spend $85 for a necklace of it. Because it's, I mean, as wonderful of a molecule as it is, I don't really think that it's a very beautiful molecule. It's not symmetrical in a way that I think is kind of pleasing to the eyes. I don't really think I would spend that kind of coin on just kind of a necklace that's frankly, for most people, probably going to go out of vogue very quickly. So, all right, that about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination Podcast. A little bit of a babble, a little bit over, but hey, you know what? I am who I am, and that's all that I am. So hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast. This has been episode number 315. Can you believe I've been doing this for over 3 years and 300 episodes? Every once in a while, it still takes me by surprise. So hopefully you enjoyed today's offering. Hopefully the little bit of episodic joy that it brought you will carry you through to the rest of the week. Just remember, please check over at the Caffeination homepage for all the lovely little articles that have been eking out. I know there's going to be an interesting little form over function Friday to this week. So check back for that. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to thank everybody who listened in. Be it this your first time or if you are a repeat offender, thank you so much for your time and your energy sending everything in. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, links that you'd like to share, please feel free to fire one off to caffeination@gmail.com. If you just want to subscribe, please head on over there and check out all the lovely little subscription buttons that are up at the top of the page. That is www.caffeination.com. Thanks once more, and stay caffeinated, people.